Hello, everyone. Will somebody please let me know in the chat that you can hear me okay? Get situated here. Yes, excellent. Thank you. All right. Here's how we're going to roll tonight. If we have newbies, hello, Maria. If we have newbies on the call, this is how this works. This is office hours. No appointment needed. All you have to do if you have a question and want to come on screen and talk to me is raise your hand. There's a little hand at the bottom of your, you know, the little menu at the bottom of your screen. If you have a question you want me to just answer, you know, without you coming on screen, you can put it in the Q&A and I will do those at the end of the call. Okay, so we're just going to get started. Oh, you guys can talk in the chat if you want. I probably will not get in there much. That's just, I don't know, it's distracting to me. All right, so if anybody wants to be coached, you can raise your hand. Simi, you are first. I'm promoting you. Whoop, where did you go? I think I lost you. Maybe you didn't mean to have your hand raised. Okay. Oh, there you are. Let me unmute you. Hello.
Hi. I was actually just leaving work and wanted to, I was hoping to get the elevator to the site.
Oh, you are breaking up in a bad way.
Can I call?
Yeah, do you want to raise your hand later?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
5 minutes. Okay.
Okay, good deal. I'll take you next.
Okay.
All right. Natalie. Let's see what you got. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know, pretty good, I guess. I have a question.
Okay.
I deal with a lot of like baggage of my past, and I am having a hard time getting over it. And I choose food to comfort myself to fill that void of you know, I'm a single mom. I'm lonely. It's very, very hard. So I don't know if there's any advice or if there's anything you can help me with. Because, yeah, I want to move past it, but I'm having a hard time.
Okay. When did you join, Natalie?
Just like a week ago? Yeah.
Well, good for you for getting on office hours.
I've been listening to her since probably March, and it's funny, I found her. I joined Weight Watchers and then found her, so I had finished out my Weight Watchers and mm-hmm. I couldn't join back in April. But I've down 11 pounds, which, you know, just doing what I'm doing, but I still find myself like just lonely and sure. Feel that void with just to feel satisfied, and it's not, you know, I don't know how to get out of that.
Okay, so tell me how food satisfies your loneliness.
It just makes me feel better.
No. Food does not make you feel better.
Okay.
It really doesn't.
Well, that's what I guess, you know, it's like a moment, you know, I don't know, like, for example, at work, there's a candy dish that sits next to me. And if I eat a piece of that candy, I can't stop, Kathy. It's like a thought that consumes my mind. I don't know how to stop. Like, I just don't know.
Okay.
I feel lost.
Okay. So here's what's happening. Okay. You have a habit that when you feel lonely or when you feel stressed or when you feel any kind of emotion that makes you uncomfortable, you eat. And what the eating does is distracts you from feeling that emotion. Okay. So it's not giving you comfort. It's not making you feel better. It's just distracting you a little bit. It's called buffering. Okay. So what I want you to realize, what I want you to do right now is think about what harm comes from feeling lonely. What's terrible about feeling lonely? Nothing. Because you know why? All feeling is a vibration in your body. Okay? You have a thought that creates a feeling that leads to an action. That's called the think, feel, act cycle. Okay? You probably know that if you've listened to the podcast. We talk about that quite a bit, right?
Yes.
So you have a thought that says, I'm all alone, or I'm a single mom, or have a terrible past. It makes you feel lonely, stressed out, and you don't want to feel that lonely and stressed out. Okay? What I want you to know is that a feeling can't hurt you. Okay? It's just a feeling. It cannot cause you physical harm. It's your body's physical reaction to whatever you're thinking. Okay? Okay. See, when you're happy, you have one reaction, right? You feel it in your body. Your shoulders lift up, you know, your head might bob a little bit, you know, you might dance, whatever it is. When you feel happy, you take deep breaths, your posture's good. That's how your body reacts to a thought that makes you happy. Okay?
Okay.
When you're sad or lonely, your body also has a reaction. You probably slump your shoulders. You might cry. You might tense up. Your stomach might hurt, right? All these things are just what your body does in response to a thought. Okay? So,
okay. Excuse me.
That's okay. So what you're doing is suppressing the feelings by eating. And you've convinced yourself that eating makes you feel better. And it doesn't, because the feelings come back, right? If you felt better, right?
They do.
Yes. If you actually felt better, you would have resolved the feelings and they wouldn't keep coming back.
You're right. I right? think it's more or less it just numbs it. So I don't
know. Right. It just distracts. It doesn't even numb it. It just distracts you from it because the feeling is still there. Because it keeps coming back. It's like, picture a beach ball, okay? And you're in a pool and you have the beach ball and that's your feeling. All right, you're holding on to it. You push it under the water, right? Mm-hmm. You hold it down there and you eat or you do whatever that distracts you. The minute you turn your back, what happens to that beach ball?
It goes
right back up. Right? That's what you're doing to your feelings. Now, I'm going to give you a little clue about feelings. Have you ever started crying and not stopped?
Yeah.
You're not crying right now.
No, but I mean, like I have in moments. Yes.
Okay. My point is, when you cry, when you have, even when you have good, strong, you know, sobbing cry, you eventually stop, right?
Correct.
So that's how a feeling works. It comes on, and this could be a happy feeling or a sad feeling or a grief feeling or whatever. It comes on, feels really strong and intense in your body for a short period of time, and then it begins to ease back out. Okay? Just like what I have watched you. I'm not sure what the feeling was, but I've watched you cry and stop crying, and now you're smiling. Because whatever feeling you were feeling came on, and it intensified, and then it eased back on out, just like a wave in the ocean.
Right? And my emotions are like that, like all over.
Exactly. That's exactly the point, okay? You don't have to eat for the feeling to go away. If you just feel it, and pay attention to it and figure out what it feels like in your body, it's going to ease back out all on its own.
Okay.
Okay.
I know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm so glad that I found you guys. I do have to say.
There's definitely a light, but you have to honor those feelings. You have to you have to honor them, and you have to allow yourself to feel them without going to the candy jar. And once you start recognizing that you can do that, you're going to, you, it's going to change. It's going to rock your world. Promise. I promise. Well, it will.
I promise. 3 months, I'll come back and do another call and let you know.
Well, just, you know, just think about that. In fact, I'd love for you to post in the Facebook group.
Okay.
And ask, or actually just go to Ask Coaches. Okay. Tell them that you were on the call tonight.
Okay.
Us, me and Betsy. Tell us you were on the call tonight and ask us to link you to one of Corinne's Zoom calls about feelings, or a lesson about feelings, so that you can understand more about the process of it coming in and easing back out and how to honor it so that you don't overeat through it. Okay.
Now, does she do Zoom calls only like during the day? I know Corinne's just a little bit harder to like watch. She does a lot of stuff. I work like a night. I work at a bank, so it's like more daytime hours that I'm unable to do a lot of those events. So I just, does she do them other times as well?
Yeah, Corinne actually has a weekly Zoom call on Sundays at noon. So she does Sundays and Wednesdays at noon.
Okay.
And she does her monthly content calls, like her workshops and Q&As, and, you know, about whatever the topic for the month is. That's on Monday evening.
Okay.
And then, of course, you found office hours tonight. Betsy does office hours on Saturdays as well. So we try and mix it up so that every time zone, every work schedule, you know, has an opportunity to get on with somebody.
I really do. Thank
you.
And I will, I'm going to watch the rest of this call and ask the coaches, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I hope that helps.
I think it will. I really like hearing.
All right. Take care. Okay. Oh. Bye-bye. Yay, a brand newbie. Okay, let's see. Simi, you're back. I'm gonna call you back up since I promised you. All right. Are you here, Simi?
Yeah.
I don't see your video.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Oh, there you are.
Can you see me now? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Hi, how are you?
Sitting in my car. Good, thank you. I just joined.
Yay.
And I'm really liking all the things that I hear. And I did have two questions. I'll start with one. And I'll save mine for later. And I just want to make sure everyone has a chance if there's other questions. And you can let me know.
Okay.
My first one was, so I a while back I tried to take care of my weight issues, trying to lose like my last 25 pounds, and I did that by, I'm embarrassed because I feel like it was a bit extreme. She's never told anybody about it, but it's like this intragastric balloon.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't, but it's weight loss surgery, some kind of weight loss surgery.
It's like a weight loss procedure, and then they remove the balloon, so it just like takes up space in your stomach.
Okay.
And it helped temporarily, and I knew in the back of my mind, I can be quite self-aware, so I don't know why I kept pushing it back, but I did realize that even that was still a temporary fix because I wasn't dealing with the mental and emotional stuff at hand.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It helped me lose like 10 pounds, but what it did help me was by not gaining weight, because I'd gone through a really bad breakup and I think I would have like gone another level. Mm-hmm. I don't have it anymore. I'm stabilizing my weight in many ways, but now that I have this coaching and I'm realizing that component that was missing, I'm considering trying it again, but I don't want to be impulsive. And I wanted to get your thoughts on how that would work. And if, you know, what your experience has been with working with people who may have had a procedure to help accelerate. I want to make sure it doesn't end up being like a temporary fix, but of course I'd love a bit of an accelerator to push me. Cause I do know that the mental part's important, cause I've already yo-yo dieted many times in my life.
Okay. So why do you want to accelerate? What's your hurry?
I might be getting married. And we haven't picked out the dates or anything yet. I think it may be in a few months. Okay. I had started to get comfortable with, because I know I can't be hating my body, and I don't have a reason to hate my body. It's just I'm a perfectionist and I don't like being overweight. And as I'm working through trying to be comfortable, I'm afraid that I'll take it so easy and I won't be at the weight that I would love to be on my wedding day, at least, you know, that if I could, but I also don't want to get there in a very temporary way where it's because I just couldn't eat and I never worked on the emotional stuff either.
Right. Right. And so that's what you're seeing here, right? The balloon is going to be one way of doing it. And the thought work and the hunger scale and the planning is going to be the other, right? So when you lost the 10 pounds with the balloon, how long did it take?
Maybe like 2 months.
2 months.
And so, that's because, again, I wasn't working on the mental part. Like, I was still using food to comfort myself, right? So
2 months is about 8 or 9 weeks, right? If you do the hunger scale and the planning and whatever, you could lose half a pound to a pound a week, probably. If you really, really nail in your hunger scale. So why would you choose, and you did the thought work. So when you came out of this 2 months, right? Or even 6 months or however long before your wedding, you will not only have lost your weight, you will have all these great new habits and you'll have done all the thought work rather than another alteration to your artificial alteration to your body that is not something that stays sustainable for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you really think it would be that much faster? If you applied yourself with the four basics, and I'm assuming, I mean, you joined last week. I'm assuming you know what the four basics are, right?
I know the water. I know the planning every day, which overwhelms me quite a bit. And then I forgot the other two.
Okay. The hunger scale, which is eating.
Oh, okay. Till two.
Mm-hmm. Right. The 2 to 2. So you eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're satisfied. Mm-hmm. Sleep 7 to 9 hours.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah. Water till your urine runs pale yellow, and the planning. Got that, yeah. Why does the planning overwhelm you?
I think in general, I tend to overcomplicate things, and then currently I just feel overloaded with a lot of insecurities, especially in my personal life, that anything extra, like even just, it just feels like so much that I can't even tend to put a plan together.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's do this. What did you eat for breakfast this morning?
So I actually just had coffee for breakfast.
Okay. Is that pretty normal for you?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm hungry, so I'll make eggs also.
Okay. What'd you have for lunch?
I had a soup with the pita bread.
Oops, sorry. Soup and pita bread. Is that pretty normal for you?
I came into the office today, so I tried to be healthy, and that was the closest thing I could find that would taste good. So yeah, I mean, I like soup.
Okay. Did you have any snacks?
I had a peach.
Okay. And what about dinner? Have you had dinner yet? Mm-mm. What do you think you'll have for dinner?
I don't know.
You gonna fix it at home or you gonna pick it up on your way home?
Probably pick it up on my way home.
Okay. What's on the way home that you might pick up?
There's a Panera.
Okay.
Pick up a salad from Panera.
Salad from Panera. Is that what you would normally get from Panera, a salad?
I like their salad. And then like their turkey soup, but they don't, their turkey chili, but they don't have that right now. So.
Okay. What would you have with the salad? Would you have an apple or chips or what, or baguette or anything like that?
Yeah, I actually like the baguette. Sometimes I try to skip it, but I,
feel like it.
Okay. Well, let's put it on the plan. All right. So this morning, if you had taken just a few minutes, what did that take? Like, seriously, like 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And you had written this down, you would have had your plan for the day.
That's true.
So how easy was that? And you wouldn't be sitting in your car in indecision deciding what dinner was going to be. You would already know.
Yeah.
So really what the plan does is it takes you out of overwhelm because your decisions are already made.
Yeah.
Right?
The couple of times I tried it, it was actually very helpful.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel very overloaded lately and I just complicated because yeah, I was in the moment with you and I planned it and I figured it out.
Yeah. So tomorrow, think coffee and eggs will do it tomorrow. Here's the thing. If you decide not to eat the eggs, you're still on plan. Okay. So you working from home tomorrow? Or are you coming to the office? All right. So what will you have? What's at home that you'll have for lunch?
I think I'll have eggs. And then for lunch, I have some, I guess that's what I get afraid of. Like, what if I don't want it? And I know that's not an excuse, but I just feel like I'm going to fail myself.
Okay. So what if you don't want it? Do you tell yourself it's going to be just fine? I'll have something else tomorrow, but today this is what's on the plan. Or do you plan options? Well, maybe I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or maybe I'll have the smoked salmon.
Sometimes I do that. But can I do that? Or
sure, absolutely.
Just like have two options instead of one.
Sure.
And then work towards being able to stick to one option.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So what are your two options for lunch tomorrow?
So there's like this kidney bean like soup type of thing my mom made when she was visiting last weekend. So I can have that.
Okay. What else?
I can always order something from this Mediterranean restaurant. So it's like chicken kebabs.
Okay. You gonna have a snack?
Yeah. I think I want to go get some more peaches.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I like yogurt or yogurt also.
Okay. What about dinner?
See, normally I would have eaten that chicken thing for dinner. So I'm confused.
Okay,
now.
So let's put that on. Let's put that on for dinner in case you don't eat it for lunch.
Okay.
And what's another option?
So I can do that? Can I move it around like that? Or is that?
Of course. I often will plan lunch and then dinner and swap the two. Usually I have lunch already prepared, like I do my food prep. So I'll have, you know, something in the fridge for lunch already and I'll cook dinner. But if it's going to be a super busy night, like tonight with office hours, sometimes I'll cook the dinner for lunch and have the prepared food for dinner.
Okay.
So yeah, you can swap.
I have these like frozen chicken breasts. They're like lightly breaded and they've been sitting in my freezer for a while.
Okay.
They're pretty healthy too. So I can always heat that up as well.
Okay. What would you have with that?
I'm pretty lazy sometimes. I feel like I'm a 12-year-old kid. I'll just dip that in ketchup and probably.
And that would be it? Just the chicken? All right. Chicken and ketchup.
I have some like broccoli and cheese like that I can steam also, which has been sitting there. So I should eat that too if I can.
So here's tomorrow's plan. Super easy, right?
Yeah.
And now you don't have to do any work tomorrow because you already have a plan. And the great news is you can do this every single evening in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to screenshot this.
Sure. Go for it.
So done. Done.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right. So was that overwhelming or was that pretty easy? Was that just a series of questions you ask yourself?
No, it was easy and it was actually surprisingly easy when I had tried it initially.
Mm-hmm. So here's the other thing I'll tell you. Let's say at lunchtime tomorrow, you come across something you wish you had planned. Okay. Oh man, I forgot about the peanut butter, right? Just tell yourself, I'll plan that for tomorrow. That'll be really good tomorrow. and then move on. Sound good?
Yeah.
So give these four basics a try.
Before adding on something external.
Yeah. Go through your first module of No BS. Corinne does an amazing job of explaining them. Plus, last Friday's podcast was all about the four basics and why they're important. So last Friday's Losing 100 Pounds podcast.
I think the part that I also struggle with, and it gets me really down when I see this, is that sometimes I think I'm doing well, and then like my family was in town and we took pictures and I felt like my face was big and I looked swollen, and it really puts me down. It makes me feel like I'm broken physically in some way, that I'm just genetically defected, that I can't even have it may be that I'm sensitive to sugar and carbs, but for some reason it makes me feel like I'm in hell because of it, because I struggle so much with that addiction, and then I just have a little bit of it and next you know I feel like I've gained 5 pounds. Like, I don't know, I'm just like in this place where I feel so hopeless.
So is it module one or module two? Hang on just a minute. I'm going to look it up. I'm so glad you joined, because you're going to get so many good resources. I'm going to check.
Have you ran into a lot of women like that, that they just eat a little bit of carbs and they feel like they literally just swelled up?
I can tell you that happens to me with sugar. Okay. Not necessarily with like potatoes and rice and stuff. I don't react that way to, but I get very inflamed with sugar. I think it's just, my body is not used to it, and yours probably isn't either. So that when you do eat it, it probably inflames you a little bit. So next week in the Fueling the Body module, you really need to get into No BS and listen to some of these lessons. But next week in the Fueling the Body module, you learn all about your food protocol. And that's where you actually look at the foods in your life and figure out which ones feel good in your body and which ones don't. And for you, it sounds like sugar doesn't really feel good in your body, right?
It doesn't, but I eat it a lot, actually.
Okay.
That's the problem. Like, I think I have an addiction to sugar. I've been doing okay right now, but it's, at any moment, I'll want like a bag of gummy worms, and I can't, like, I'm like a little girl. Like, I can't stop eating candy.
Well, that's all that is a craving or an urge, a suggestion to eat. You know, you're calling it an addiction. What sugar does is it creates a dopamine hit in your brain. It makes you happy. So you think that your brain thinks that it should get more happy. That's all it is. It's just your own natural reaction to sugar. We all do that. Okay. So I'd be careful about calling it an addiction. I suppose there is a clinical addiction to sugar, but if you haven't been diagnosed, just understand that that's just an urge to eat sugar. Okay. It's a suggestion your brain is giving you, and you get to choose whether or not to eat it, right? Mm-hmm. You get to choose whether or not to accept the suggestion. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Does that help?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it helps. I think I have to work on just a lot of my own limiting beliefs on a lot of things. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going through a lot of like jealousy and insecurity issues. I keep comparing myself to my boyfriend's ex. I don't even know where this is coming from. I mean, I know where it's coming from. It's just very triggering in so many ways. And I'm starting to really like body shame myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was a stick figure. I have curves, but I've never been hated for my curves. And all of a sudden I find them disgusting, or I'm constantly feeling like I'm never going to be able to be thin enough. And I'm going down this cycle that I'm grossed out with myself.
Okay. Those are all thoughts that you're thinking, and thoughts are optional, right?
Yeah,
they are. I mean, seriously. A thought is just a sentence in your mind. When you're body shaming yourself, that's a choice that you're making to body shame yourself. When you're comparing yourself to someone else, that's a choice that you're making. And it doesn't sound like that choice is doing you any good, right? So I would really think about you know, the fact that those are thoughts in my mind, they're not facts. Okay. They're not the facts of the situation. Right. Mm-hmm. So do this work, do this, get into this no BS, look at these four basics, think about how you want to talk to yourself and whether or not how you're currently talking to yourself is doing you any good. And then just keep plugging along. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See you later. Bye. Thanks.
Bye. I'm going to stay on though.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Well, we got a bunch of people lined up tonight. Deanna, you're next. Okay, Deanna. I can't see you or hear you. Are you coming? There you are. Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I'm the person that you called out on Facebook to show up tonight.
Well, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so just so, because we have lots of people on this call, give us a recap of why I called you out and told you to come to office hours tonight.
Sure. I'm an
you're here.
Thank you. I'm an April baby, and I feel like I was doing really good. I still am doing my 24-hour plan despite my feelings, and sleep and water. I was doing all those things like a boss, but nothing had changed. It was the same 6 pounds for 2 months now, and I confessed to PNP 100. That I was disgusted with myself and how is this ever going to change? I've done the basics and I said that I felt hopeless and just fed up with feeling like crap. My legs hurt, my knees hurt, my feet hurt, and just fed up. And so I got put in my place quick by my accountability partners in the tribe that I did not go to them, which I have apologized. And then Betsy called me out. And then when I said I couldn't go to that one, you called me out. And so here I am.
Okay. So so what are we on a coach on? The same 6 pounds or the feeling of hopeless?
Well, I think it's a combination. And here's what kind of started my spiral. My husband is wonderful. He has reiterated to me 10,000 times that it is not my weight that he loves. He loves me, and I believe him. And he has gone to any length to help me. We have bought every pill, shake, video, membership under the sun. And I brought him the information to join the tribe, and he was on board. And so 2 months in, he's like, so when's the weight going to come off? And
gotta love it, right?
And I said, well, I've lost 6 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what's been 2 months? Mm-hmm. I was hoping you'd be more successful.
Okay.
And that kind of put me in a tailspin of, I feel like crap. I can't do this. And screw it. And I even had the moment in my car listening to you and Corinne. And I thought, I can't listen to her the rest of my life. Blab on. And I thought she would appreciate that I felt like I'm sick of hearing her. I don't want to listen to her the rest of my life trying to lose weight. But that was my FGT.
You know, why wouldn't you want to listen to Corinne for the rest of your life? That's not a coaching question.
<She's the truth.
laughs> So your husband said, I thought it would be more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your thought about what he said?
After I wanted to kick him in the knee. I felt disappointed because I thought it would have been.
Why did you feel disappointed?
Because I thought it would have been more. I guess I fell under the spell of the magic pill.
Oh.
Just heard that today on one of the pods.
Under the spell of the magic pill.
Yeah.
Okay. So you buy a program, did you? And you did the four basics. You are 100% executing your realistic plans and hitting your hunger scale and getting your sleep and doing your water, right? 100%.
I would say I'm a confident 85%. Okay. I struggle on the weekends, but I don't eat out of control. I just don't write it down.
Okay.
So I would say I'm a good solid 85 to 90% on the basics.
Okay. And you hit that plus two every 85% of the time.
75% of the time on the plus two.
Okay.
That's still a work in progress, but I'm aware. I've never been aware before.
Okay. Well, that awareness is always the first step. Okay. Mm-hmm. Being aware of where you're starting and where you're stopping is always the first step when it comes to the hunger scale. So what's going on the other 25% of the time you're not hitting your hunger scale?
I think I like what I'm eating. That's it. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. If it's something I don't like, it's okay. It's easy to leave the plate behind of the soggy broccoli.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
So what if I told you that if you hit... let me ask you this question first. The 25% of the time when you're loving your food, is that your weekends or is that any time through the week?
It's any time. Anytime that I have something on my plan that I really enjoy.
Okay.
And it's not something that I go after per se either. It could just be I'm enjoying this chicken when I don't want to leave any.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what if I were to tell you that if you buttoned up that hunger scale to stopping at plus two, more than 75% of the time, that weight would come off?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's seriously the key to losing weight is stopping overeating.
That's, okay.
I mean, it cannot get any simpler than that. And the four basics are what sets you up to stop overeating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll go through them again. The sleep keeps you from being tired and getting urges to eat. And it burns. That's your fat burning time. The water helps keep your belly full and working and helps alleviate cravings.
Mm-hmm.
The planning is the decision ahead of time, and the assessing is taking a really good non-judgmental look at how you did and what you can level up. And then the hunger scale keeps you from overeating, right? Mm-hmm. If you were nailing those things more than 75% of the time, you would lose more than 6 pounds. I promise you. Because what you're doing right now is you're eating to maintain the weight you are.
Yeah. And I think you know that.
Yeah.
There's a little voice in me that is agreeing with you.
Right? Because, I mean, it's math. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I can do math, by the way. I can do math. So let's do some, because this is interesting to me. Let's say you dished up your normal serving of food for the next 2 weeks. And for every meal, you left 3 bites behind. Okay?
Okay.
So 3 bites for every meal is 9 bites a day. All right? 9 times 7 days is 63 bites.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 3 meals. 3 meals a week, you might be overeating. 3 full meals a week, you might be overeating. So in 2 weeks' time, that would be 6 full meals. 2 days worth of food saved by 3 bites a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What that also does is teaches you that it's okay to leave food behind, and it lets all the drama in your head about leaving the food behind rise to the top so you can see it and look at it.
And is it okay to be hungry? Tonight I'm going to eat my dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to leave 3 bites. And if I feel like I'm still hungry, you know, I want to pause for a minute. Mm-hmm. I've had a little bit of a dilemma with part of the four basics. Let me tell you what it is.
Okay.
Going into this, I'm a healthy eater.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from when I want something that isn't healthy, but in general, we no bad bread.
Right.
You know, chicken, vegetables, fruit, no cookies in the house. Mm-hmm. And so when she gave the okay to realistically plan, I took license with it. And I was like, yes, I can put the cupcake on there. And so I had to reel that back. You know, I had to realize, no, I had to start where I was. I was starting where I was 25 years ago. I was going way back.
That's a really, really great point. The realistic plan is putting on the plan what you know you're going to eat, mm-hmm. not adding all the stuff that you think you'd like to eat. You know, like, oh, if I can realistically plan a cupcake every day, I'm going for it. But if you're not normally eating a cupcake every day, then the realistic plan is not permission to do so.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're the type of person that has 2 pieces of dark chocolate after your dinner every night, and that's your routine, then you put the chocolate on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't not put the chocolate on the plan and eat it anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't my routine. And I heard the podcast about the no BS with the lady that put chocolate cake on her plan mm-hmm. every damn day and lost 50 pounds. Oh boy, mm-hmm. I could have made that a t-shirt for myself. To put cupcakes on my plan when I hadn't cupcakes in 7 years.
Right. Her chocolate cake, honestly, is one of those little bitty, teeny tiny Weight Watcher, you know, it's like 3 bites.
But it's not like a 3-level decadent.
No, it's not. It's not like this big honking piece of chocolate cake. Okay.
Put that in there.
But honestly, she leveled down from the big honking piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
A little bitty, you know, 2 or 3 bite morsel that she eats now, as level down, level up, whatever you want to call it, as she lost her weight, but she still allowed herself the pleasure of that couple of bites of chocolate cake every day.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay?
She just leveled it up.
That's a struggle that I muddled through myself. I brought myself back to reality mm-hmm. and I realized you can't do that.
Right.
That's what you're used to.
Right.
So then I felt conflicted about, you know, this isn't a program where you go into a stage of want. You don't feel deprived, but you're telling me to leave food behind. And what if I'm still feeling hungry? In my brain, that is screaming deprivation.
Okay. All I'm asking you to do is evaluate whether or not you really need those 3 bites.
Okay.
So here's what you do. Okay. If you're, oh no, she's asking me to be deprived. Leave the 3 bites behind. And then in 30 minutes, you can have them if you're still hungry.
Okay.
But wait 30 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I could do that.
All right. That's what I want you to do. Because okay. I bet in that 30, it takes at least 10 minutes for the food you swallow to reach your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever finished at what you thought was +2 and 30 minutes later thought, oh my gosh, where did that bowling ball in my stomach come from?
Yeah.
Because you've eaten fast or something like that. Yeah. So with your 3 bites, I want you to wait 30 minutes. And if you're still hungry, physically hungry, not that brain going, oh my gosh, Danny, you have to eat those 3 bites, then you can have them.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think I could do that.
And in 2 weeks, I want you to get in Ask Coaches and say, Kathy, this is Deanna. And once you tell me how much weight you've lost.
Okay. I could do that.
All right.
I could do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take
have
care.
A good night. Bye.
Bye. Lee, you're next. Hey there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. Well, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Did you get that book written?
I am doing so well. I was listening to re-listening to James Clear's Atomic Habits, and for some reason this time around that chapter on the just do 2 minutes
yep.
sunk in, and I don't know why, but this time around I did 2 minutes, but you know, I average more like 20 minutes, half an hour a day for, I think I'm on like almost a 2-week streak, so. Very happy. Thank you for remembering. That's so nice of you. I have a new problem. Well, it's not new. It's actually my old problem. And it is, I think this is the key to getting the last 15 pounds off.
Okay.
And that is throwing away food when I go out to eat. And normally, it's not that big a deal because I rarely go out to eat. in part because I grew up in a restaurant and I don't like going out to eat. I find it stressful. Plus, I don't like the whole like portion, not being able to control my own portions. But the next 6 weeks, and I just got back from a week in Canada where I was eating out for every meal. And I have another 6 weeks on the road coming up where it's all restaurant food or catered Panera or catered lunch or whatever. And I just have the hardest time when I'm done. And you know, you really can't take it with you. It's soggy. Half the time I don't have a to-go box. And part of the time too is I'm justifying not wasting the food because it's bad for the environment. And then I put it in a to-go box.
A styrofoam to-go box, right?
And then sometimes I carry around a to-go box with me, which just is like excessive.
You crack me up.
I've brainstormed, I've TDL'd, I've tried to understand like what it is. And it's not that the food is so good. I have come to call bullshit on that thought. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the middle of the moment and it's like, I know I hit my two, I'm done. But the idea of just like watching this food go away into the garbage can or into the kitchen, I just can't get myself there.
Why not? What's going through your mind?
I think part of it is this kind of sense of entitlement, like who am I to order this food and then just decide that I don't want the rest of it and then throw it in my head, even though that's a disciplined, reasonable thing to do, it feels entitled and wasteful and like disrespectful of all the people who don't have the food. But of course, if that were true, I just wouldn't order the food in the first place and I'd give that money to charity. I know it's like illogical. I also grew up in a restaurant where we didn't throw out food. I mean, I was the garbage can kid that ate the half rotten food other people didn't eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of like, it's just, maybe it's part of my identity to like be the kind of person who doesn't waste food or is a garbage can, you know, and changing that identity, I think it's hard for me. I mean, my family still calls me the human garbage can as like a nickname. So it's very much, even though I don't want it, I think it's seeped into my the back of my mind. No, it's probably
in the back of your mind, but if you don't really want it, it's not something you're relying on. There's something.
Yeah, I mean,
there's something about, well, tell me this. If somebody came over to your house and brought a casserole, would you eat it all? Would you save it? Would you throw any of it away?
No, not if I could help it.
So it's not just restaurant food. You just don't throw food away, period.
But it's not a problem at home because I can restore it. Like, for example, right now, I made a pot roast a couple weeks ago and then I left and I couldn't finish it. And I tried. I mean, I was overeating to try to get the pot roast done. It's still in my fridge because I can't bear the thought of putting it in the garbage, even though I know now it's too old for me to eat. And part of me still thinks maybe I could eat it. Because I can't save this food. So no, it's always a problem of throwing away food. It's more of a problem when I go out because I can't control the portions.
Okay. So in your mind, eating it is a better option, is the correct option over throwing it away.
Right.
Even though you're just going to carry it around on your hips.
Yes.
Because you're overfeeding.
Right.
So why is that better?
And maybe I convince myself that like, I don't have to eat as much later or somehow once it's in the garbage, it's truly wasted. But if I eat it, there's a way in which I can.
But is it really wasted if it's in the garbage?
No. Also food is biodegradable. And I know that. I know like really throwing away food is not the problem of the world in terms of waste. Food biodegrades. It creates new soil. It's fine. And honestly, I don't throw that much away because I hardly ever go out to eat. You know, I just, when I go to throw it in, and I don't know, I've been trying to use the urge workshop to try to work through this because the urge is to eat the food as I start to think these thoughts about wasting it. But I don't know, it's not clicking for me the same way that like, oh, I have an urge. I saw X donut. I want X donut. Count to 90. Donut goes away. Because then I still have to go throw the food in the garbage.
All right, let me ask you this then. If you and I were having dinner together and I threw away half my meal, what would your thought be?
That I was jealous that you just did that without, like, you know how Corinne has that story about the steak, $60 steak? It's on one of the podcasts. Mm-hmm. She talks about she was just done and she just threw it away. And I think, I want to be that.
So you wouldn't think, oh my God, she just threw away food.
No, you're not hungry, right? I mean, if you ordered it and then just said, I don't want it and threw it in the garbage.
So why can't you apply that thinking to yourself?
know.
Why? No, let me ask it this way. Why aren't you choosing to apply that thinking to yourself? Because it's a total choice. It's a total choice to think, yeah, I'm the human garbage can. I can't throw away food. Because obviously you can, because you have.
And I have.
And once in a while, you know, the world didn't come to an end.
And once in a while I'll throw it away. Also, I have had the thought periodically, like, honestly, the best thing I can do is throw away food, because as my appetite gets smaller and smaller and smaller, I consume less and less and less. And so really the greater good is served by me being less of a consumer, not me eating six bites of food. But I've been trying to level up with just throwing away two bites. Like, okay, you know what? If you go out to eat and you can't even stop at your plus two, like, what if you just throw away two bites? And even that, I just, like, I put it on my plan for a couple days, mm-hmm, and then I don't do it. So I take it off the plan. But no, I wouldn't judge someone else for doing that. I would think it was reasonable.
Okay. So those are the thoughts I want you to list. Make, and I know Laura's on this call because I've seen her in the
show. I know Laura's texting me right
now. So Laura,
you just gotta make the list.
This is what you hold her accountable to.
Yeah, okay.
If you're eating dinner with Laura and Laura throws away food, all the thoughts you have about Laura.
All right.
Oh, look, she stopped at her plus two. Look, she doesn't want to carry that on her hips. You know, whatever it is. And then you write down all the thoughts you think about yourself.
Yes,
10 thoughts you think about yourself. Look at how very different they are, and then decide, tomorrow I'm using Laura's list and I'm throwing away 3 bites of every meal.
All right. So think like Laura. And she needs to think about me like alcohol. And I was just telling her this. And it's funny too, because when we first got into the Marco Polo group, she was on vacation and she threw like half a pizza in the garbage and we were all cheering for her.
Right.
Yeah. And I never had a moment of doubt where I thought that was not the right thing to do. Like, yeah, you have no control over how much pizza room service serves you. And
right.
To a certain degree, you still have to eat and you can't do anything about it. So unless you're purposefully wasting the pizza, like how much are you really throwing away in the grand scheme of things? Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So this is how you talk to yourself.
Okay.
When you hear those thoughts come in that say, oh no, I can't throw that away. Yes, I can. And this is what I would tell Laura. So this is what I'm telling myself.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right. You got it. See ya.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. She cracks me up. All right, Miss Penny, you're next.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. I was a September groupie and now I'm a June baby.
All right.
And I've been working hard on the no BS stuff. And one of the questions I had today was, and I even did a 2-minute recovery drill on it. So I'm trying to really work this to really, but anyways, my question, a little nervous, is, when I've been learning the hunger scale since September, and I'm getting the idea, but I'm also finding out, like a lot of people say, that they get full really quick and a lot sooner than they thought. And that's been happening to me. And I feel sad. Isn't that a bad thing? I mean, I had like an example. I had a tuna fish sandwich today for lunch on my plan because I love tuna. And I got halfway through it. And normally I could eat a whole sandwich. And if I was doing the old diet mentality and thinking, well, this is within my calories, I certainly can eat it. But no, I'm full. And I was kind of, I don't know, I had a hard time with that. And then so I did the sheet and I said, what can I do next time? Well, next time, maybe it's the whole throwing the food away thing. I thought, well, I could put it in a baggie and take it to work. And if I really got hungry the next 2 hours at work, I could go ahead and eat it. Yeah, I might throw my dinner later or not at all. But I'm just struggling. Now, I'm going to do it, but just what to do with those emotions.
They're normal. I coached somebody last week about.
Did you?
Yeah, she said, Miriam, she was hysterical. She said she mourns the fact that she can't eat as much. Okay.
Yeah.
It made her sad too, right? It's very, very normal when you realize what you've done is attached a lot of joy to your eating rather than just said, I'm hungry. This is a natural process. I'm eating my food. I'm enjoying it. That's all I need. Move on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you've attached a lot of joy to what you're leaving behind. When your body really doesn't need it.
Right.
So just with practice, you won't be as sad. I can tell you that. Because you'll begin to understand that this is all your body needs. Your thoughts will change from, oh my gosh, I didn't need all this, I'm so sad, to look at me, right? I know where my hunger scale is. I've been overfeeding myself. I'll just make less next time. I'll serve myself less next time, or whatever it is. You know, it's just a subtle thought shift that will happen over time.
But, do you think that, I mean, was my solution that, is that just a safety net for me to say, well, I'll put it in a baggie and take it to work, or should I just leave it at home? Because I come home every day for lunch and let the dogs out, and then I go back to work. I mean,
well, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I didn't.
Do you think?
Did you today?
Okay. Well, if you were to put it in the baggie, mm-hmm. and take it back to work, and you get hungry at 2 or 3 o'clock, mm-hmm. would you eat it, or would you eat your plain snack?
Well, I didn't do that, so it wasn't with me, so I couldn't. But I don't know if I was real. If it would have been with me, would I? But no, I didn't. I didn't die of hunger, and my husband, I knew we wouldn't be having dinner late tonight, so he met me right at the house, mm-hmm. and we got dinner going right away. So, I mean, it wasn't like, even if I was to go hungry, it wouldn't hurt, but, because then I'm thinking, then if I would have ate it, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't have been hungry right when he got home.
Right.
So then I'm screwing up that meal.
Right.
So that's been my, since September, learning all this, that's the hunger skill's been my biggest hurdle.
It doesn't sound like it's a hurdle for you understanding your hunger scale. It sounds like a hurdle because you're having a little temper tantrum when you don't get to finish your meal.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know.
So what if you just decided that it's okay not to finish your meal? In fact, it's sort of empowering because, look, I know how much I'm supposed to eat now. What if you just decided it's not a struggle?
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You know, the more you think that it's a struggle, the more it's going to feel hard. I think that's my point. The more you think this is a struggle, this is hard, it's going to feel hard. But the more you start training your brain that this really isn't that hard, it's just paying attention, and it's... it actually feels pretty good to say no when I'm full or when I'm satisfied, you know, because I know I'm taking care of myself, then it doesn't feel as hard, right? It feels better. It feels like you're making progress. It feels successful.
Maybe a little bit exciting too.
Exciting, wow, right.
I don't have to eat it. I don't have to eat all of this. And then, you know, feel tired at my desk later in the afternoon and all of that. So, and I know I don't think I would have gotten my water in as well had I brought that back to work with me either.
Right.
So that's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Does that help?
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Excellent. You got anything else?
Not yet. You may see me next week. Not yet.
I'll be here.
Alrighty. Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amaka, you're next. I'm unmuting.
Here we go.
Hey, lady.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was going to do coaching call, but so let me just ask. It may be easier. So I wrote a post on the page and I ended up deleting it because I was getting responses that I didn't like. So I said, delete it.
Oh, I only talk to you if I like what you say back.
No, it wasn't you. I was like, I don't like these responses. They don't understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to delete it.
They're not sitting in my diaper with me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I was doing my plan, and I was getting frustrated with myself. Each time I will write my plan, mm-hmm. and I put specific meals, mm-hmm. I... be like, I don't want it. I want to do something else. So I've been eating off plan and stuff. So I said this week I'm going to really just plan realistically and just do 2 to 2 and not be so specific because someone's like, why am I not doing that? Mm-hmm. And then I think somebody suggested if I was avoiding making a choice, that was, if I'm just avoiding making a tough decision. So I said, I don't know if that's it. If more than like, honestly don't know. When I see patients, I could be busy and I may not have as much time allotted in my break. So if,
Which is it though? Is it time or is it, I don't want what I planned? Cause you started by saying I make this plan and then sometimes I decide I don't want that.
Yeah. That's definitely the majority. I feel like whenever I commit to something, we're written down. I'm like, I don't actually commit. I'm just like, this is Robert. Right. That's not a realistic plan for me for being to know exactly specifically what I'm going to have the next day.
No, the problem isn't whether or not the plan is realistic. The problem is that you're not committing to the plan. The problem is that you're allowing yourself to negotiate the plan. It's not whether or not the plan's realistic. Because let's say you put on a hamburger and you decide you want a hot dog. Okay. Uh-huh. Two equally, you know, about the same nutritious kinds of foods, let's just say.
Yeah.
Well, you've put on the hamburger and you're not committed to the plan because you decide you're going to eat a hot dog instead. Right. It's not a time thing. It's not a, you know, realistic thing. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
So why won't you commit to the plan? Why won't you just shut down the negotiations and say, girl, I have the hot dog tomorrow. Hot dog sounds good. Yeah. Tomorrow. Why won't you do that?
I think that's what I don't know. Cause
don't say, I don't know. If you had a guess.
I didn't have sentence.
Girl, you know the rules.
I guess I use the idea like, oh, I don't know because I don't know what my day is going to be like. So let me just assume that I can't plan my day perfectly. Because before, like, I would just stay in my apartment on weekends and just like wait, eat my breakfast, wait, watch TV, like avoid social life. So if I'm going out and about and living my life, or if I'm seeing patients and I want the freedom of not having my food dictate my day.
Oh,
I don't know. I just said words.
Food dictate your day.
Yeah, I would. When I used to Weight Watchers, I would literally just stay home and be like, I can't go out because I don't know what's gonna happen, so I'm gonna stay in. I can't do that. And you know, and meet people and do my sketch writing and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So
how does food dictate your day when you make a plan?
Because it's like, if I plan food that I'm like, oh, I'm going to make something at home. And then let's go meet up and, you know, do some sketch writing or something like that. I'm like, oh wait, well, that's not what I planned. And if I don't do this, then if I don't eat it, if I don't eat what I have, then I'm going off plan and I don't want to do recovery sheets. So let me just avoid it. It's like,
You make this so hard.
I know.
All right. Here's what you do. Okay. You're at home. It's a Saturday. You plan to eat at home. Somebody calls you up and go, hey, Amaka, let's go do some sketch writing. You're like, cool. I'll meet you after lunch. Then you make your lunch at home and then you go do the sketch writing. That way you stay on plan and your food doesn't dictate your day and you get to do your sketch writing. You open your brain to how can I follow plan and create the day I want to create and still be spontaneous with the sketch writing phone calls and the other things.
Yeah, I just feel like I was the past 2 days, it's only 2 days, but I feel like I was able to wait for a -2 a little easier because I wasn't looking at my plan and being like, well, that's what my plan is staring at me. Why am I not hungry? Why am I like staring? Like, I feel like it's always staring at me, the food. If I just say -2 to 2, okay, when I'm hungry, I will then deal with it then. And usually I make better decisions historically when I have that than having a plan and then going off plan.
Have you and Betsy worked on this?
Hey, what do you say?
Have you and Betsy worked on this?
You know, so what happened was, yeah, she,
what did Betsy say?
No, we haven't fully worked on it. I'm going to talk to her on Monday. So that's why, but yeah, I'm trying to like look up the thing. What, Yeah, we haven't. The answer is no. We haven't fully gone over that yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't. It just seems like I do more. This is what I wrote to her. She asked me if it's just realistic. I said, thanks to I struggle with the idea of putting food in my plan and not eating it. I see, and I think I should have it. Not putting a specific plan allows me to say, I'm getting hungry. Let me find something to eat now. I don't know why I'm making this make it better decisions without physically writing the food down.
So why would you prefer not to have already made the decision as opposed to going, well, I have to go find something now. That's what you just said. I'm hungry. I have to go find something.
Maybe now that I'm thinking, maybe it reminds me of the Weight Watchers days where I said, well, if I have a specific plan, I think I'm going to revert back to like just sitting and not and waiting for food.
And waiting for what?
For hunger to happen and not living.
Girl, you're a mess of thoughts.
I know. Why I'm in therapy and I'm all the stuff. I don't know if I should just commit to write something down just because, or should I just do two to two for a little bit longer and seeing where that leads me? Or is that considered never being in discomfort and uncomfortable?
I just don't, I mean, I think two to two is important, okay? But I also think I really am a believer in the decision ahead of time. Because especially for someone, you know, like you that overthinks and gets into confusion.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about, right? If you are a classic overthinker, and look, I'm raising my hand too, okay?
Yeah.
I can go downstairs and argue with my plan right now. I'll even tell Ken sometimes, well, you know, do you want to swap Wednesday night and Thursday night? Would you rather have spaghetti or would you rather have a hamburger? You know, I mean, I'll do that. And he's like, Kathy, the plan says, and he'll actually point at it. Okay. So I do that as well. But when I just really decide that I'm going to follow the plan, it's so much easier. Because it's already written out, the decision's already made, the stuff is in the fridge, and I just take care of it. It takes all the confusion out of it. It takes all the indecision out of it. It's just right there. It takes all the negotiations away.
I get you.
And let me tell you something. I only put things on my plan I like. All right? I'm not putting Brussels sprouts and beets on my plan. Because then the negotiation would start.
Yeah.
Okay.
That brought up another question. If I should just do a complete overhaul of my kitchen and start with, because I was like trying to finish up the food that I have, but still eat. So I was just like, I don't want this food. I want to throw it all away.
No, if you're making your plan going, I don't want this food, then that doesn't need to go on your plan.
It just lingers in my kitchen. Like I might as well just get rid of it and start from scratch.
Maybe so. What if you did this? If you decided, I'm going to create a plan for the next two or three days of food that I like to eat that I know I'll eat two to two. What would that have on it? What do you like to eat?
Food. Just kidding.
I mean, seriously.
I
had spaghetti tonight. I love spaghetti. We eat it every week. We actually eat it every Tuesday. I make it at 5 o'clock. I eat my spaghetti and I come on office hours.
Yeah.
Clockwork. I love it.
I like Five Guys.
Okay. So if you were to put Five Guys on your plan,
I'll have to get the burger then, because the fries would be too much. I have to then be aware of just ordering the burger, and that trips me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you like? What do you like to make at home?
I like making this like nacho-like thing. It's like either ground beef or ground turkey, and then I mix equal parts of salsa and queso, and then I put some lettuce and.
So do you plan when you plan that you eat it right?
Yeah, but I was tending to overeat it, so I said no. I'm getting into that trap.
All right, you still plan it. You just decide you're not going to overeat it. There's more in the fridge for tomorrow.
Yeah, Because I eat that all day. I can eat that every day for a week and not, like, it's an easy thing I can make. It's that I just have to learn then to stop.
Yeah. It's not that hard. And you can put stuff on there that you like. You can even probably mix some up and put it in a little container and take it to work and heat it up real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if you put the things on your plan, you know that you'll eat. That makes it realistic.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to commit to it. And there won't be a lot of negotiating. I can't see you saying, I don't really like those nachos today.
No.
Because every Tuesday night, I am not saying, I don't really like that spaghetti tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't trust myself. So I'm like, if I don't have it, then I don't overeat it.
Yeah, you learn not to overeat it. You don't restrict from it. You eat it intentionally and you enjoy every bite. You don't sit in front of the TV and eat it. You sit at your table with all the screens off and you enjoy it until you hear that voice in your head that says, is that enough, Amaka? Are we at plus two? Because when it says that, you know that you're there.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. That helps.
All right. Boy, this is becoming the planning call. I love it.
What are we going to do? I've been at a stall. I need to lose this weight. I'm going to have my birthday trip. I got to look hot for the Londoners.
Do it, girl.
Find me a husband. Anyway.
That's another call. See you later. Bye. Okay, Angie K. Thomas, you're next. Let me unmute you. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I almost started crying when you called my name because I've been so excited. I have a couple brain questions.
And, okay.
I didn't understand how it works, so I kept going to Kryn's things and everybody was like getting called and I'm like, not me. And then I found out you have to sign up. So anyway, okay. I have a couple of questions. Okay. I'll try to be really quick though.
Okay.
I have a very bad anxiety disorder.
Okay.
It's very, very extreme. And I have to eat every couple of hours or I start to feel shaky. Oh, thank you, Emily. I start to feel shaky and like I'm going to pass out. I start to sweat. Like it's a whole, oh my God, eat now or you're about to die. I am not diabetic. I don't know how, but I am not. So I have been forcing myself for several years now to eat when I am not hungry. Sometimes I am completely full still and forcing myself to eat. So what I found that I'm doing, I'm brand new. I'm a June baby. And I actually only found the podcast a few days before that. I think I was about 12 podcasts in when I joined.
Mm-hmm.
So I am super new, just finished Fresh Start, have not even started second module yet. But what I found that I'm doing is I'm over planning right now and I don't know if that's okay. Sorry, I'm super emotional cause I'm like super stressed on this. I am planning, I call it first and second breakfast, first of all. So whatever I put on my breakfast plan, I make enough for two and I write times two on my plan. Like it literally says whatever my breakfast is times two. And then I plan a regular lunch, my regular dinner, and then I plan a bunch of snacks. They're not big ones, but it's like a Sargento's little snack pack with the cheese and the nuts and the raisins or whatever, an apple. Sometimes it's like the little Jell-O cup with whipped cream if I want a dessert type thing. Or you know, almonds and cheese or cherries, whatever it may be. I plan several of them, five or six. And every day I plan an apple juice, but it's an emergency apple juice. I don't plan to actually drink it, but if I start to shake, apple juice is what brings me back.
What's causing the shaking?
I'm not sure. I feel like my blood sugar is low. So I got really obsessive about that for a while. I bought a tester kit and started testing to the point where my hands were raw. I was testing 15, 16 times a day. And the lowest I ever saw my sugar was 69, which I don't think is really low because I think it's like 70 to 100 or whatever is normal. So I was mostly in that range. But I noticed when I get below 80, I start to shake.
Okay. Have you seen a doctor?
Not in a while. But the last, and this has been happening for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen doctors since then, and they all just say I'm fine. I'm sorry. My daughter
okay.
keeps calling. I have my grandson.
If,
go ahead.
Well, I think I would have the shaking looked at and the anxiety. Are you medicated for the anxiety disorder?
I am not. I don't take okay. any medication whatsoever.
I think I would see your doctor. If it is a physical reaction that sends you to food that you don't need, there's some kind of imbalance that you need to have seen about.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever tried to wait out the shaking? What happens if you try and wait it out?
I haven't, because it's a full blown panic attack when it happens.
Okay.
I'm in you're about to die, eat now mode. And okay. I just instantly, I'm grabbing whatever I can. It was really bad in the beginning. It was, anything super sugary, you know, I grab donuts, crackers, cupcake, whatever was nearby that was sugary. And then I started doing juice because it has a certain amount of carbs and it's a small, already, you know, mm-hmm. sized out. I don't have to dump a glass. I can just, and I have them in my purse. I take them everywhere with me,
mm-hmm.
So that I have them. But I know that part of it is the crap that I eat. I do know mm-hmm. that because when I was a Weight Watcher girl, which that's why I'm where I'm at now. But anyway, when I was eating better and I was starting to make changes and maybe not eating white bread, but eating a better bread or this or that, I noticed that I can go longer. Mm-hmm. I can go sometimes 3.5 hours before I feel that need to eat. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I'm doing really well, I can go 5 hours. So I think it's anxiety, but I think it's also feeling my sugar drop, but it's not dropping to a dangerous level.
Yeah, it could. You've probably just jacked up your insulin a little bit, because when you throw a bunch of sugar in your body, it raises your insulin level real high, but your insulin will only stay up there for a little while and then it'll drop. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when your insulin is doing this all the time, you're going to get all that shakiness, right? That's what,
yeah.
that's what causes all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just really think you probably need to see a doctor and see if that's what it is, if it's your insulin going up and down, if you are, you know, leaning toward being diabetic, if they have any specific suggestions for you about food you should eat or should stay away from,
mm-hmm.
and wrap that all up in with the anxiety. And see what they have to say. I really don't want to advise you poorly on this.
Okay.
Okay.
Basically my question wasn't that. It just right now I'm over planning. It doesn't mean that I'm eating it. Most days I'm not. Mm-hmm. Most days I'm not getting anywhere near. Like I'll plan 4 or 5 snacks, but I might have one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I'm not eating all of them, but I'm over planning and I just want to know, is that, am I sabotaging myself doing that, or is that
okay. Not necessarily. It sounds like you're just being realistic when it comes to the planning aspect of it. If you put stuff on your plan that you don't eat, you are still on plan.
Okay.
If you are eating in response to your body's, what you perceive as your body's need for food, mm-hmm. and you're eating something on plan, then you're still on plan.
Okay.
I would really look into what's creating the shakes for you though. You know, because it could be anxiety, it could be blood sugar, it could be a whole host of different things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had another question, a smaller one add on to that, but
okay.
So at dinner time, if I'm eating, and I eat, and then I have not learned the hunger scale yet, but I know that I'm doing it wrong because I usually eat till I'm full. But a little while later, I'll be hungry again. Like what feels like actual hunger. Is it okay to have seconds, or is that just a, like you're tripping?
How long after? If you're eating to
a couple hours later.
If you're eating to +2, it should last you 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
But if you're eating to full, it should last you longer.
Yeah. No, I'm usually eating to full. But then I wasn't sure if like it's okay to have seconds, or if I'm just, if I'm trying to find an excuse to say, okay, go ahead.
That's what it sounds like.
It's good.
All shaking aside, assuming you're not having some kind of,
and that doesn't happen all the time.
Like, right.
I've had it once this week and had not had that happen for months.
Oh, so this is not an everyday thing.
It is not an everyday thing, but I'm over planning because I'm afraid of that.
Oh, okay. So when you eat in the normal course of business, shaking aside, are you waiting until you're hungry?
I have been trying. I'm on day 7 of 24-hour mm-hmm. planning. Mm-hmm. So I have been waiting until I'm hungry. I had a little moment today, but I created a accountability group with some girls that I've already mm-hmm. met, some more June babies, mm-hmm. a gal that's been here for a couple of years to really help with, that knows what she's doing. And I like went on there and was like, you guys, I want this freaking food right now. Like, I'm freaking out. But I did the 90 seconds. I mm-hmm. drank water. And then the girls jumped on. And I told myself, just get over it, freaking crybaby. Like, you can mm-hmm. have the eggs tomorrow. Just eat the stupid grilled cheese that's on your dang plan. So I did.
That's the way to talk to yourself. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be, you don't want to like the mental beat down, but you know, you don't need the eggs. Just eat what's on the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So my big question, and I'll be really quick, is I'm making my daughter do this with me, and I don't know if that's okay, but she's about to turn 14. She's 5'11". She's 326 pounds and she is mean as crap to herself. Way meaner than I've ever been in my life. She says horrible things about herself. And I want to know, is it okay to make her do this with me, or am I going to mess her up?
Is she resistant to it?
She just keeps saying, oh, this isn't going to work for me, mom, you know, because she wants to eat the crap.
Yeah.
But she makes the plan with me every day. And, you know, I tell her, baby, if you wanted that ice cream, because we had a big meltdown over ice cream one day, mm-hmm. Dad said, oh, can we go get ice cream? I said, no, it's on our plan. We can put it on for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then it was Attitude City, because she's a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I explained to her that night, honey, you can have it. You just have to have it on your plan. So she's been planning better. But she just keeps saying, I don't think this is going to work for me, mom. I don't think this is going to work for me.
Yeah. You just be her coach.
Okay.
Okay. It's not going to mess her up to learn to eat 2-2 and to plan her meals and everything. That's not going to mess her up. You just be her coach. When she starts the mental beatdown, just pretend you're Coach Kathy or Corinne or somebody who says, is that really how you want to talk to yourself, honey? You know, how does that make you feel?
She's awful to herself.
And you know, this is the kind of thing that I want you to listen to. Is this how you would talk to your best friend? You know, that kind of thing. Just ask her some reflective questions and let her know that, you know, mom's here and we're working with this. We're working on this together. And both of us are going to be so healthy when we hit our goal.
Yay, that makes me so happy. I've been having a lot of guilt over that all week because I'm making her do it with me and she doesn't love it. But
stop saying you're making her do it with you. Okay.
Okay.
That feels like it's forced, mm-hmm. right?
Well, when
what you're doing is you're including her in your program. You're including her. You're teaching her what you're learning.
I like that.
Okay. Sounds a whole lot better. It's going to sound better to you and sound better to her than I'm making her do this, mm-hmm. you know?
That's how it feels. And so that's why I was afraid, like, am I going to cause her food issues or...
Well,
you know,
you cause are her mama. Bad. It's your responsibility to teach her. That's all.
Yay. Thank you, right? Kathy.
You're welcome. Is that it?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. You're awesome.
All right. See ya. Bye. Michelle, you're next. I'm trying to unmute you. There we go.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I did really well last week after coming home from Nashville. Mm-hmm. I started in January and I didn't do any of the basics.
Okay.
I really didn't know where to start, and I was trying to listen over and over to the podcasts and everything, and mm-hmm. I finally committed. After I came home from Nashville and I started filling out my 24-hour plan, and I lost 7 pounds last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I nailed it.
That happens, right?
Yeah, I was really excited.
Yeah.
So what happened was I finished school. I work at a school. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up this morning and I filled out my plan. But my schedule is what kind of threw me, because now I have a different schedule. Mm-hmm. So I found all these like pockets of time where I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. Mm-hmm. And not that I didn't have things I could do, like I could be doing the laundry, I could be doing tons of things, but I ended up leaving my schedule wide open. And I also noticed that on my 24-hour plan, I was more vague with what I was going to eat. Like instead of potato soup, like I had put last week, this week I just put soup.
So why did you do that? Why did you?
I don't know.
No,
it's like I just kind of lost my brain. I lost my mind. I didn't even notice I did it till I was sitting here waiting for my turn. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of looking over everything, and I paged back, and I'm like, mm-hmm. wait a second here. What in the world? Okay. Why did I?
So you caught yourself. So what are you going to do for tomorrow's plan?
I'm going to be more specific.
Yeah, because you know that works, right? 7 pounds in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you let go of some inflammation or something there, along with a little bit of body fat, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think drinking water, I just had been so dehydrated and
yeah,
I just wasn't.
That works.
Yeah. So yeah, 7 pounds is a lot, but I do the same thing. Like I'm very, sugar is something that makes me look like I've gained a lot more weight on the scale than when I stop it. It just, that weight just goes away.
Yeah.
So, but I guess what I want to ask you is, how can I help myself be more specific with my schedule and stick to that?
Okay. So are you a teacher?
I'm a special ed director.
Okay.
So I manage people all day long, which it's so funny to hear me asking you how to do this. I manage 18 teachers and 354 uh-huh. kids.
And now you're at home and
I don't know how to manage
this. Management has just gone out the window, right?
Right. It sounds ridiculous to even say it to you, but I'm just...
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. If you look at tomorrow, mm-hmm. do you have an idea in your mind of what you want to get done?
So I haven't really thought about that yet, but I know my son has a 7:30 dentist appointment, and that's the only commitment I have. Okay. And I have a yoga class that I can go to at 5:45.
Okay. So are you going to go to this yoga class?
Yes.
All right. So at 7:30, we have the dentist, right?
Yes.
And at 5:35, we have yoga.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tomorrow's Wednesday. What else is going on a Wednesday?
Nothing.
Nothing. So what would you like to accomplish tomorrow?
So I would love to be able to take a walk. I haven't looked at the weather yet. Mm-hmm. It rained here today, but mm-hmm. I could also get on my bicycle. So.
Okay. So would you do that in the morning? Would you like doing that in the morning or in the afternoon?
In the morning.
All right. So what time are you going to get home from the dentist?
8:30.
Okay. So will you eat breakfast then, or will you eat breakfast before?
I'll eat breakfast after.
Okay. So we'll say it's about 9 o'clock now, right?
Uh-huh.
So what happens at 9 o'clock?
See, that's what I don't know. I better do some wash.
So decide. Okay. Laundry. Laundry at 9 o'clock.
And I better do some dishes. So some laundry basic.
And dishes.
Yeah. Clean up.
Okay.
For about an hour.
About an hour. So mm-hmm. now it's 10 o'clock.
See what I mean? I think that's why I fell apart today, because I had these giant chunks of time and I was like...
No, we don't have giant chunks of time.
Okay.
Okay. We have a day. That's not a... Giant chunks of time in my world is like 10 years. We have one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And actually, we only have 3/4 of the day now, because you've planned until 10 o'clock. All right. Okay. So you're going to go on your bike ride before lunch or after lunch? Or your walk?
Before.
All right. So let's pencil that in after laundry and dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Bike or walk. And what'll that be? About an hour?
Yep.
All right. What do you like to do in the summertime when you're off work? Other than bike and walk.
I love to read. Okay. I usually have a garden, but this year I don't, because we're going to do a lot of traveling. So
okay.
I didn't plan a garden this year, but that's something I really like to do.
So do you have a book already?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. All right.
Which it'd be a good idea for me to plan that during the day. Otherwise I stay up all night and read. So that's probably a good idea.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pencil in lunchtime around 12. And how long would you like to read tomorrow?
At least an hour.
Okay. So how about we give you 2 hours right after lunch and we'll call it read.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever do that. I'd feel too, I wouldn't give myself 2 hours.
Might you fall asleep reading?
No, I'd just be worried that I should be doing other things.
Okay. Well, we got 3 more hours. What other things do you want to do in that amount of time?
Well, I should spend some time with my son.
Okay.
So I'm trying to help him learn Spanish. So I'd probably spend an hour with him tutoring.
Okay.
And then I can probably fold some more laundry and put dishes away.
Uh-huh. This is not a hard task. This is not a hard task for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have pretty much filled up your day.
Okay.
Because you thought ahead of time what you'd like to accomplish tomorrow.
Okay. So I should do this the night before instead of standing here in the morning and... Okay.
Right. Because if you think about the things you want to get done tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you can go ahead and sort of time block your day. Mm-hmm. And let's say you get out of the dentist and you have to run to the grocery store. It's okay to move this stuff around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you have in your mind what you can do, right? What you can create.
Yeah.
You can decide to move this bike time down here to 3 o'clock and instead mm-hmm. of, what does that say? Housework, right? Yeah. Because you got all the housework done. The point is you get to create the day you want to create,
mm-hmm.
right? You get to decide ahead of time what that's going to be.
But see, why I think I'm struggling, because usually I'm triple tasking what everybody else needs me to do. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to think about it during the year. It's just like mm-hmm. everything's coming at me, but now.
All right. So now the summertime, you get to decide. You're not triple tasking what everyone else wants you to do. You get to decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
What if you looked at it, you know, with abundance? Look at all this time I have.
Right.
I get to read. I get to work in my garden. Well, you said you weren't having a garden. I get to travel. I get to teach my son Spanish.
Yeah, I really should, because it is really a gift that I get this time.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I just wanted to talk to you right away because it was such a good week last week. And then all of a sudden it was like it just kind of went to hell again. So I just wanted to catch it. The other question I had is, mm-hmm. you know, I've never done a recovery worksheet, and mm-hmm. I don't even know. I looked for it in my planner that I bought, and I don't even see one in there.
They're not in the planner. They're in the NoBS program.
Okay.
If you go to Unit 7 of Module 1, it's called What to Do When You Eat Off Plan or Overeat.
Okay.
And you click on that, and it talks about the recovery worksheets and how to fill them out.
Okay.
And then if you go to NoBS, and the right underneath where it says NoBS Success Path, it says the full NoBS workbook and individual worksheets are available here.
And I've seen that. Okay. Yeah. And I printed a bunch of other things out of there, but I forgot to do that one. And maybe at the time I just didn't even know what it was for or whatever.
Right.
But now I know I could have really used that yesterday and I didn't access it. So.
Well, here's something really important to hear. You can go click on that right now as soon as you get off the phone and fill out the recovery sheet for yesterday.
Yes, and today.
You haven't lost your opportunity. Right.
Dang it.
Actually, you know, we tell people all the time, go ahead and print 25 or 30 of them and put them in your kitchen.
I'm just going to have a folder,
I have a big stack of them over here on my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and I filled out so many 24-hour plans since January, and I had no idea. I was getting so frustrated, and now for some reason, this last week, it started to click. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that. So
cool. Good deal. Enjoy your summer.
Thank you.
Create an amazing summer for yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Sierra, you're next. I'm trying to unmute you. Hang on.
There we are.
Hey there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey. Well, as good as a former law student in bar prep can be.
Woo. But graduating from law school is not an easy task.
It wasn't.
Bar prep is not an easy task, but I know you got it. I know you got it.
So
when do you take it? When do you take the bar?
July 30th.
Okay.
And 31st.
Yeah. And what, you're in Florida, right?
Yes.
Okay. You got it.
It'll be a doozy.
Yeah, but you got it.
One and done. I want my license in September, so
mm-hmm.
I gotta make it through.
You will. You will. Just work it, girl. You got this. So what's up?
So I am having a difficult time at the moment. I posted something earlier this morning in the tribe. My eyes itching already. And I am in the cycle of not choosing better emotionally and with my thoughts. So I posted this morning that last night, basically my wife had, basically she was feeling like basically I didn't want her or I didn't want to be around her because lately with going through finals, graduating and starting bar prep, you know, and actually having more mental time on my hands, mm-hmm. that I want to have more me time. And she is somehow making that mean that I don't want to be around her.
Okay.
So my issue is, in my mind, I know I'm like on that thought pattern of this is not my, these are not my thoughts, these are not my emotions, it's not my issue. I had brought up, you know, basically saying like, I receive what you're saying. I can see how you feel that way. And basically, how can we make it better so that I have balance mm-hmm. between bar prep, my me time, and also us time?
Mm-hmm.
She completely shut down and didn't want to talk about it and cried for an hour and a half in bed last night. And then this morning woke up, didn't really want to cuddle or kiss me goodbye or hug me goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted her, you know, an hour after leaving or so, basically reassuring her after I posted that someone would give me advice to say, you know, reassure her. So I tried that, didn't have any response from her at all throughout the day, which is abnormal. And then she comes home and I had made the adjustment to, instead of being in my office, to take my bar prep materials and sit on the couch just to be there when she wants to watch TV after work. And she comes home and doesn't really talk to me and goes into the bedroom and does whatever she wants to do. So for me, now I'm in the cycle of after all day trying to choose that, you know, I don't have to be on her emotional level in order to empathize and communicate with her. But now I feel a way about it. And now I'm thinking like I'm the worst wife ever. I can't do anything right.
Mm.
And then how am I supposed to do great on the bar when I have this going on? And so my drama is starting in my mind.
Right.
And
you have done so much work. I just love you really have. So keep going.
So for me, it's just, I'm kind of confused in a way because we spend a lot of time together. I don't think I've spent this much time with anyone besides my mother on the planet.
Uh-huh.
So for me, because I've done so much growth, I want to make sure that I'm validating her, trying to find a solution, but also trying not to put my emotions in the game. And I don't think that's working out for me. And my knee-jerk reaction is like extreme.
Why are you confused?
Because as I thought about what she was saying and replaying situations that I could, you know, draw inferences from, when I'm in here doing bar prep work or working on some other stuff and she wants me to come into the living room, mm-hmm. all we do is sit on the couch and watch TV while we're on our phones. So for me, it's not necessarily not important, but it's like I could be doing something else.
Is this a change? Let's say, no. let's back up 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's look at, what is her name?
Kiana.
Kiana says, hey, Sierra, I want you to come out in the living room. You're like, oh, do you go, okay. You know, come out in the living room and sit together and watch TV and play on your phones together?
Yeah, and I do that now when I'm done doing what
when I you're right.
Do.
Right, when you're done doing what you need to do. Could it be that she is not understanding your priority shift?
I'm not sure. And this is kind of like a recurring pattern that I'm seeing. And so now my mind is like being over analytical and it's jumping to like 10, 20 years in the future from now.
Yeah, that's no good. Just stop that because nobody can see the future. I'm sorry.
but it's like for me, it's like I've been in law school.
I want you to look at how you are showing up differently in your relationship today than you were when she felt good in your relationship, mm-hmm. when you were getting along well. Is there a difference in the way you're showing up? Because we can't analyze and fix Kiana. Mm-hmm. Right? What we can do though is look at how Sierra is showing up and what your thoughts are about how you're showing up and what's going on here, right? So we can do your model all day long, but we can't do hers.
Okay.
Okay.
I just feel like for me, since graduating, there has been such a lift of stress off of me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way what transpired in my particular law school, they put us through bar prep last semester. So going through actual bar prep now is less stressful because I'm not relearning things. I'm just reviewing things and doing more practice questions and more practice essays.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, one of the things I was looking forward to was getting back to who I was before law school, before I had this giant time commitment. So for me, having more mental energy and mental space and capacity to do things that I like to do, especially going into the bar where most people have been telling me it's not a game of knowing what you know because you already know it. It's a game of going in less stressed and maintaining your calm. Right. And so for me, wanting to regain some of that time that I've lost and also be calm, I have been putting more time into me time and doing things that I like to do on my own. And so for me, I feel like I'm showing up differently in that regard, but it's also for me, that's to me showing up better because now I can feed into Sierra and not have to give 80% of my mental capacity to law school.
Okay.
So now.
So do you think she is sensing that rather than it's either maybe in the past she's been seeing Sierra give to law school and give to Kiana
mm-hmm.
and not give to, and it wasn't important to give to herself. And now there's less time, you know, you're not in law school all day long, but you are studying and you've worked in Sierra time, right? I'm not saying Sierra time is bad at all, okay? Because I love me some Kathy time. But I can tell you that man downstairs doesn't understand it sometimes because he loves me and he wants to be with me whether we're sitting there playing on our phones or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to decide how I want to show up in my marriage. I mean, I work a lot, right? I'm working. It's 7:45 at night here, right? I'm working now. But he knows my schedule, and he knows that I prioritize him as well. So I think that's what I would do for you. I would think about, just like I was talking about with Michelle, I think about your ideal day. Okay, carve out some Sierra time, carve out some study time, carve out some Kiana time, and let her know that she's just as important as everything else, everything else that's going on in your life. She's probably just not understanding the reprioritization, and it's probably just going to take some
time. But then that makes me angry.
Why?
Because it's not fair.
Why is it not fair?
Why do I get my time for me?
I didn't say not to get your time for you, girl. I didn't say that.
See, now I'm more angry.
Why are you angry? Because you want her to completely understand everything that's in your mind and respect it. That's your manual for her. Kiana needs to just get this. She needs to understand Sierra. She needs to understand when I need my time. What you're angry about is not I can't have my time. It's that Kiana doesn't understand me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because you've changed the rules. Right?
A little.
Yes.
But I feel like it's just not fair. Like,
oh, no. That's a thought.
3 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like if I make a change, she should be on the same page. And I guess that's not how life works.
You know, I'm not a marriage counselor. I am just a coach. But I will tell you that communication and showing up in your marriage and discussions and talk and clean space for the person you love. And when I mean clean space, I mean openness and honesty and curiosity, just like a coach for the person you love, usually helps you clarify things, usually helps get things back on the straight and narrow. But if you walk into it with an agenda, if I walked into this call and said, Sierra, here's what you need to do, girl. This is all my opinion. This is it, right? If I walk in with an agenda, I'm not helping you. If you walk into the living room with an agenda and you say, look, this is what you need to think, it's not going to land. You have to show up. You have to show up you. But you can't tell her what your manual is, right? You can't tell her, you can't have the manual. You can't have the expectations. You have to allow her to be her and show her that you care about her and allow her to show you that she cares about you. And then you just kind of come together. You don't believe me. You don't
I
like
do,
it.
I do, but like my mind
I
is like.
I graduated law school, damn it. I want my time. Kiana, get in here. Kathy's going to coach you.
I don't know. My brain is throwing up phrases in my mind. Like, but like, why can't you just understand? Or why can't you do it on my time? I don't have time for this. Like, I'm already stressed out. I don't need this.
Yeah. And all that.
How long is it going to take for you to understand?
Uh-huh. How many snuggles and hugs and kisses is that going to gain you, girl?
Probably none.
If you're going to hold her to expectations, you need to tell her what they are. And then you need to let her decide if she's going to meet him. That's what it boils down to. That's the manual. I think I would just talk to her.
What if she doesn't decide?
What?
What if she doesn't decide to get with the program?
No. Then you decide whether or not it's worth it to change the program. What's the most important thing here? Seriously. What's the most important thing between Sierra Time, Bar Prep, and Kiana?
I think they're all equally important.
Then you give them equal attention. You give them equal prioritization.
Oh. Okay.
You got this. I can't wait to hear how this bar exam goes for you. I have a good feeling.
It's going
to
be amazing. I'm going to pass with flying colors, and it's going to be great.
What kind of law are you going to practice?
I am not sure. I've had a couple interviews for some public defender's offices in Florida, so we'll see. But whoever's going to pay me is where I'm going to go.
You know, in my prior life, I was not an attorney. I was an accountant. Mm-hmm. But I was the financial and budget officer for the public defender system in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for those folks. A lot of respect.
It's going to be tough work, but I think it's rewarding.
It is
both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. So
I find that that public defenders are there because they love the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're called to uphold the Constitution. That's just what they want to do. Good luck.
Thank you. I'll probably see you again.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, you guys. I have room. I have time for one more. So Tara, you are it. You're next. Anyone else that I don't get to tonight, please go over to Ask Coaches and ask your question. As soon as I'm finished with Tara, I'll run through the Q&A and then we'll get out of here. Tara, something's going on here. There we go. Trying to call you up, but it's Zoom's acting funny. All right, Tara.
Are you here?
Here.
Hey.
I was just about to get on the interstate.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, my question is, I did this in the Q&A, and so I'll cancel that. But I started walking with a friend at work in March,
mm-hmm.
and so I've lost some weight, and I'm ready to like get walking faster and longer. And she's still struggling right where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to have a conversation with her. I don't know what to do next. Like, I feel like she's holding me back, and I feel like I'm pushing her too far. I need help.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
I want to walk longer and faster.
Okay. You want to walk at work or do you want to walk at home?
Well, I do both.
Okay.
I walk at night.
Okay.
We walk on our lunch hour.
Okay.
And sometimes it's only 15 minutes or 20, we're nurses. And so sometimes we don't have much time. So we always walk something.
Okay.
But
do you want to stop doing that?
No.
So what's the problem?
The problem is I want to walk more.
Okay.
On my lunch, like longer distances.
Okay.
And at a faster pace.
Okay.
She struggles with the pace that we're at and the distance that we do.
So you get to choose. You get to choose staying with her for as long as she wants to walk and then going on about your business and walking longer. Or you get to choose that you're going to tell her that you're going to walk by yourself from now on. Which is it going to be?
I just don't want to hurt her.
Can you hurt her? When did you join, Tara?
June.
So you don't know the model yet. Here's what happens, okay? You have a thought that creates a feeling, all right? Your thought creates your feeling. Her thought creates her feeling, okay? So you can't hurt her. She can have a thought about something you say that creates hurt for her. All right. So looking right now, you might say, I'm making you cry. Kathy's making you cry. Right? Is that true? Is Kathy making you cry, or are you crying because you have a thought that makes you sad?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you can't hurt her. She can have a thought about what you say or do that creates her own hurt. She is responsible for her thought and for her feeling. Okay?
Okay.
Now, can you be an ass and go in there and say, look, you're too slow, I'm out? Yes. Okay? But can you also go in there and say, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna walk on my own today and listen to a podcast, and I'm gonna walk a little bit further and see how I feel. Maybe I'll catch you tomorrow. Okay. Right?
Right.
Or you can continue to walk with her at lunchtime and support her and enjoy being with her and do your own thing after work. You have to decide what's best for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Does that help?
It does help.
You want me to call her up? Tell her. Look, Tara's out. She asked me to call you. Or actually, she didn't. But if you could just let her off the hook and not have hurt feelings, it'd be okay.
Oh, that would be great. That's great. Is that possible? I'm just kidding. I have one other question.
Okay.
But I wrote it down. Can I click off and click back on? Or
no, no, go ahead. Okay. You going to ask it? Or did
I'm
lose? Okay.
No, I'm here.
You froze up.
Okay. Nope. I'm okay.
I think you're okay. Go ahead and talk.
I have two other things I needed to look into, and I Googled them today, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. So you don't have anything else?
I don't have anything else. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. I hope that helped.
It did help.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Okay, so I see in the chat that there's a question about Ask Coaches. So if you go to the website, to pmptribe.com, and you log in, and you go to the menu at the top, it says Get Coached. Okay? You click on Get Coached, and I'm looking at it here. And the very first selection is something called Ask Coaches. You can put a question in Ask Coaches. You actually hit access now and ask a coach at the top, and it gives you a space to ask a question. You title it, make it a title that you'll recognize, okay? And you put your question in, and Betsy and I go in every day and we answer those questions. So in order to see if your question has been answered, you go back to Get Coached, Ask Coaches, and go to the far right where it says recent answers. Okay. So we get to the questions about every 24 hours. It takes us about 24 hours to get to your question. It's been pretty busy lately with all the newbies, so it's kind of exciting. So that's how you get a coach. You will always find us in Ask Coaches. We do cruise the Facebook group some, but it's much easier to find us in Ask Coaches, okay, if you have a question for us. All right, let's get to this Q&A real quick. Always goes over here on my other screen. All right. I'm just curious about swapping meals. If I swap a planned meal with another one, but it's totally healthy, do I still have to do a worksheet? There's differing opinions on this. Now, if I swap my lunch for my dinner, I think that's fine. If I swap today's dinner for tomorrow's dinner, I think that's fine. If you're leveling up your food, let's say you planned hamburger and french fries and you decided to have steak and baked potatoes, I would say that's not really need to do a recovery worksheet. If you're keeping your food about the same nutritional level, so like if you had steak and baked potato and you swapped it for chicken and broccoli, I think you're probably okay. All right. Just make sure that you're not, you know, like planning something super healthy and eating doo-doo, okay? That's probably the best answer for you. It's very hard for me to ask for help. I feel it shows a sign of weakness. What do I do? Well, Corinne pays me to help you. So if you don't ask for help, she doesn't need me. But seriously, why does it show a sign of weakness? Maybe it shows a sign of strength that you understand, that you don't understand something, or that you have a limitation and that you're willing to ask for help. Okay? It's a thought that asking for help shows a sign of weakness. Okay? Asking for help is actually being very self-aware and understanding that you have resources that you can access. And that would be me and Betsy, right? So, Stephanie, ask for help. Okay? It's not weak. It's knowing that you need help and that you're willing to ask for it and that you're willing to use the resources. Hope that helps. Okay, there's Tara's question. So I think we answered that, right, Tara? So I'm going to move on to Karen. I'm a June baby. I'm already stressed because I feel like I'm trying to fix all the things at once and not succeeding at any of them. Right? Realistic plan, restarting exercises, going to bed on time, drinking my water. Should I try to add one thing at a time, get good at it, and then add the next? I feel like I need to be successful at something instead of failing at everything. Yes, Karen, absolutely. I would layer in the basics. I would set exercise aside. It's not one of the basics, right? I'd pick the basic that seems easiest to you, and I would work on that until you feel like you've got it. And then I'd layer in the next basic. So for me, the easiest one would probably be sleep, because like at 9 o'clock at night, y'all, I mean, I'm like conked out wherever I am. So that's what I would start with. Then when I really felt like I had my sleep figured out, I would add something else in. So I would definitely do that, Karen. If you're feeling overwhelmed and don't want to attack all four at once, just start with one, nail it, add the next one, nail it, add the next one. Okay, but start with the four basics. Exercise can come later. Amber, she's an April baby, having trouble doing 2 to 2 and eating on plan. Is it okay to give myself a week or month to abandon one and focus only on the other, then introduce the other after I've gotten better at one of them? I feel like right now I'm not working on either. I get frustrated with one and go to the other and back and forth and not making progress on either. Yeah, same answer. Pick one, nail it, then add the other one in. Okay. It is curious though why you have trouble eating 2 to 2 and eating on plan. So I think for you, I'd probably start with the eating on plan. Make a realistic plan and commit to it and eat on plan. Start there. And then just be aware of when you're overeating. Okay? Just kind of make a mental note or even note on your assessment. You know what? I ate too much dinner tonight. Just kind of raise some awareness, some conscious, you know, thinking about when you're overeating. I can follow a plan all day long without a problem. I take medication at bedtime, and a couple hours after I take them, I have an urge or a bad craving for something, anything, and go right to the fridge. Doctor tells me this is a side effect of the pills. I fight with myself and try so hard to talk myself out of eating and yet right to the fridge. I started adding it to my plan, but I always feel like I have food hangover in the mornings. Sometimes I can be sound asleep and the urge will honestly wake me up and crave sugar. Is there anything I can do about that? If you have talked to your doctor and they said that this is a side effect and it's normal, I would definitely plan it. I would tell myself I could eat what's on the plan and nothing else. Okay? That's what I would do. Jeannie says, here was Corinne's awesome advice on a Facebook post in response to my worrying about my mom. Girl, get on a coaching call on office hours for real. You've lost the weight And now let's think about the life. You are thinking of all things that are wrong rather than thinking about what can you handle one at a time, like your mom. She's 800 miles away. It's not as if you're running to her house daily, but you're letting your mind run there when it needs to just be at ease with knowing you control what you can control. How best to prepare for a call? Try a model. I haven't done one yet. I joined in April. I wish you had raised your hand, and maybe you did, Jeannie. Actually, you could just thought download about this. Of course, I don't know what the problem is. I guess your mom, I don't know if your mom is, I don't know. I don't want to guess. But I would write down everything you're thinking about that's worrying you. Okay. And then I would just raise your hand at office hours. Betsy's back on Saturday at noon central, and I'm back here next Tuesday. Or you can go to the tribe calendar page and fill out the form to get on a call with Corinne. And, do the little, pick the date and the time and, put this in there. But that's really the preparation. There's really not a lot of preparation for a call. You just kind of get on and you tell what's bothering you and we help you work through it. Hope that helps. Does a plus two include the feeling of full at all, or is it simply neutral, not hungry feeling? Okay, full is past plus two. Neutral, not hungry feeling is about a zero. Okay, so I would say that plus two is more satisfied. It's not a heavy feeling in your stomach, but it is not the absence of hunger. It's a little bit past that. I know I've hit plus two when I slow down my eating or I get distracted. It's like my brain and my body are telling me that I don't need to put any more food in. Okay, so it's not really, it's a little bit more than the neutral, not hungry feeling, but less than the full feeling. Kind of play with that and see if you can find a middle ground there. Hi, I joined the tribe in April, but did not start yet. I want to get started now and was wondering how I could get in on the program and starting from the beginning. Janet, all you have to do is go to pnptribe.com and go to the Nobia Success Path and start, print out your workbook and start the lessons. That's it. The Massive Action Line weekly newsletters each week. For the next six, we'll talk about what the newbies are working on. This week, it's, what is that called? Fresh Start. And next week, it is, what's the name of that module? Hang on. It's the one with the protocols in it. Next week is Fueling the Body. Okay, so that's all you have to do. There's nothing really to get in on. You just go to the website, push play. Okay. And really y'all, anybody can work through no BS at any time. I go through it a couple of times a year. I find the lessons fascinating. I learn something new each time. Your brain, it's like your brain processes things at a different rate. So I might hear something this time that I didn't hear last time. So no BS is always available to all of you. And I encourage you to go in there and listen to it as many times as you want to. Do you know when the October camp is getting more hotel rooms for our group rate? I do not. I would watch the camp group, Tracy. I know Paula is working on it, and she'll post as soon as she has more rooms. June baby, I drank 2 cups of coffee a day, 16 ounces total. Does this count toward my water intake for the day? I would say yes, if by the end of the day, your urine is running close to pale yellow. Okay, if it's not, then I drink more water. Gretchen is going camping this weekend. I'm having trouble picking foods for my plan. I'm indulging in indecision. Yes, you are. I don't want to be hungry. I have my exception plan. How do I plan enough, but not too much? Well, plan enough, but not too. That sounds like you're planning quantities. Is that what you're doing? Maybe I don't understand your question. If you're still here, I see you in the chat over here. I'm going camping this weekend and struggling with indecision and planning. I've planned a treat, s'more, but I'm sure how hungry I will be, so I don't want to underplan food. You know what? I think I would just plan like normal and eat to your hunger scale. I don't understand why you're confused. You know, you're going to plan a breakfast and a lunch and a dinner. You're going to plan an exception, it sounds like, with some s'mores. Why is this harder than a regular weekend? You know, it's just different food prepared in a different way, right? Maybe you're overthinking this. I don't usually plan snacks. Well, then maybe you don't need to plan them for camping. You know, why don't you plan one? And then if you're hungry, you have it, right? Why don't you plan your s'mores? And if you haven't reached plus two by the, you know, by the end of dinner, or even, you know, have an exception for your s'mores. You said yes, so simple, right? I think sometimes we think a change in our circumstances changes the rules, and it really doesn't, y'all. It just, you know, whether you're traveling or camping or eating at home or eating at work, you know, it's the rules don't change. The guidelines, the basics don't change. It's just, you know, it's kind of like location changes, and that's it. So don't overthink it. Just continue to plan like you normally would. Include your exceptions on special occasions and move on, right? Okay, that's all I see. Stephanie's still here. It took a lot for me to do this, to ask about asking for help. Stephanie, I really hope to see you sometime on office hours asking for help. I think that would be super cool. All right, everybody, that's it. If I didn't get to you, go to Ask Coaches. Betsy and I will be in there a lot answering your questions. You all take care, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.